Chapter 23. Corporal Frank Cooper tried to stay awake, but he could hardly keep his eyelids from fluttering closed. He sat on a stack of AA ammunition at Denver Battery, about 1,000 yards east of the entrance to Malinta Tunnel. The battery sat on a high point of land and had a commanding view of Kindley Airfield to the east and Cavalry Point and North Point to the northeast. Despite constant enemy barrages and bombing raids, Denver Battery, along with the other 12 heavy artillery batteries, remained intact, scarred and blasted, but operational. Frank checked his watch. He'd had it since the beginning of this hell, and it still kept good time, as long as he remembered to wind it every day. 2,200 hours. He'd volunteered to come out here and help the gunners at Denver Battery fight off Japanese bombers and Zeros that would come with the landing forces General Wainwright assured them massed to the north. Despite the charged feeling in the air, Frank still struggled to stay awake. Between the constant bombing that occurred nearly around the clock and the lack of nutrition, his body rarely had a moment to recover. Every time the barrages stopped, like now, his body tried to shut down and sleep. Everyone knew the Japanese would have to make their final push to take the island soon. There had been a few false alarms, but this time the forces mounting to the north, landing crafts and barges filled with Japanese soldiers, would be coming. It was simply a matter of when. Frank had been fighting them for months now and figured they'd do what they always did and attack in the dead of night. The crashing of naval guns mixed with artillery from the mainland. Frank hunkered lower and put his doughboy helmet back on his head and secured the strap. The artillery slammed onto the beaches to the northeast between North Point and Artillery Point. Frank looked over the lip and saw the flashes and felt the explosions through the concrete he stood upon. A platoon of Marines from the 4th Marine Regiment guarded those beaches. He'd hoped they'd had enough time to take cover. The barrage lasted for 90 minutes. Frank had kept his eyes on the sky for the most part, but he hadn't seen any enemy aircraft, and the AA battery guns remained silent. The rumbling roar of friendly artillery suddenly pierced the night. Frank looked northwest and saw flashes. A gunner tipped back his helmet and said, "That's Kaisor Battery. Guess this is the real deal, boys." Frank squinted, trying to see their target. No moon shone, but with the starlight, he could see the distinct slicing wakes the boats created as they churned toward the beaches. Large splashes erupted around and among the boats as the 155mm artillery shells from Kaisor Battery started landing. From here, they looked like toy boats, but he knew they held seasoned Japanese soldiers. He wondered what it would be like to be in one of those floating coffins. He gave a low whistle and said to Charlie Monroe, standing a few feet away, "They must be pissing themselves right about now." Charlie cheered, and the others joined in as an artillery shell exploded in the center of a barge. Shards of burning boat and bodies flung into the air, and yellow and red fire lit up the night for a moment. The boat slowed suddenly, and the bow rose ominously. As the rest of the landing force continued to churn toward the beaches, it slipped beneath the waves and simply disappeared. Charlie exclaimed, "Wow! Good shooting! About 70 fewer nips to worry about." More artillery shells found their marks, sending men to horrible deaths. But from here, it all looked like a very realistic board game. He wondered if this was what it was like for Roman citizens watching gladiators hack each other to death from the stands. He could smell the fumes from the recent barrage, and the oil that covered the waters surrounding the island from countless wrecked boats, but he couldn't smell the death. He couldn't smell the torn bowels or the blood. He couldn't hear their tormented screams as their bodies ripped and bled. It must be horrific. He knew he should feel remorse at the loss of life, but he'd become numb. "Those bastards brought this upon themselves," he thought grimly. He clutched his Springfield rifle and hoped the artillery didn't kill them all before he got his chance. He wished he'd gone to the beaches and stood shoulder to shoulder with the Marines. Frank continued watching the fighting on the beaches in front of the Marines from his perch on Denver Battery. The Japanese had gained a foothold, but it looked like they'd lost a lot of men in the process. Many of the barges and landing crafts had gotten hung up on half-sunken boats or had their props fouled by wires and metal cabling that littered the area. Spilled oil made it difficult to move up the beach, and the battery from topside continued to rain artillery down on their heads. He assumed more barges and landing crafts landed to the east of the initial beaches in a separate thrust because of the increase in flare activity, but Frank couldn't see the action there. The sounds of gunfire and grenade blasts told him the Marines fought a fierce battle all along their front. Around 0100, two squads of beleaguered Marines came up the road from the fighting and filed into Denver Battery. Frank gave one of them his last cigarette. In the flame from the lighter, the Marine's soot-blackened face and wide eyes made Frank nervous. He waited until the Marine blew out a long stream of smoke before asking, "Are they close behind you?" The Marine simply nodded and said, "Yeah, they'll be along shortly." "Any more Marines coming?" The Marine's eyes seemed far away, and he said, "Not likely." Men from around the battery stopped whatever they'd been doing before and manned the line of trench works facing east. Frank made sure his extra stripper clips lay within easy grasp. He had a box of grenades at his feet, too. An army lieutenant with bloodshot, crazed eyes came down the line, checking on the men. When he got to Frank and the little group of soldiers and Marines spread to either side, he said, "Japs are coming along on a broad front. We've got 30-caliber machine guns on either side of you, but they're running low on ammunition. Make every shot count and hold this battery." He scrambled away to spread the news. Frank sighted over his rifle. The Marine he'd given the cigarette to said, "They'll try to sneak close before firing. Keep a close eye on those bushes." Frank bristled slightly and said, "Yeah, I've been fighting them all the way from Manila to here. I know how they operate." "Well, okay then," the Marine answered. 20 tense minutes passed. The thunk of knee mortars firing from the darkness made Frank duck. The Marine cursed and said, "I hate those damn things. They can hit us before we can hit them." Small explosions erupted all along the line from the small fragmentation grenades the knee mortars hurled. The Marine reached down and pulled an armload of grenades from the nearby box. He handed two to Frank, and Frank let his rifle rest on the ground. He hefted one grenade and wrapped his gnarled finger through the pin. The Marine did the same. They both waited as a few more knee mortar grenades exploded in front of their trench. Frank rose a few inches until he could see over the top. A flare erupted over the road, and he saw enemy troops diving for cover. They were much closer than he thought they should be. "They're crawling up under the knee mortars," he yelled. He pulled the pin and threw the grenade in an easy arc. The slope of the hill and the arc of the throw carried the grenade well into the squirming mass of Japanese soldiers. He just released the second one when the first exploded. He didn't wait around to admire his work. He leaned into the butt of his rifle and found a soldier crawling toward him only 30 yards away. He pulled the trigger, and the Japanese soldier screamed as the bullet slammed into his shoulder. He quickly worked the bolt action and found another soldier crawling near the first one. He aimed carefully and fired. This time, his bullet went through the pith helmet and sent it flying. The Japanese soldier stopped crawling. The 30-caliber machine guns opened fire and swept across the backs of the Japanese. More flares burst over the road and along the entire length of the line. Frank saw enemy soldiers on their feet, charging. The machine guns wreaked havoc on them, cutting them down in rows. The steel-jacketed rounds passed right through their intended targets and slammed into the men behind them. Often a shattered bone from a man in front embedded into the man behind, causing ghastly wounds. The first assault line faltered. Frank picked his targets carefully, aware of the dwindling ammunition. A Japanese soldier leaped to his feet and ran back down the hill. Just before he entered the scrub brush, Frank shot him in the back, sending him sprawling headfirst into the bushes. The Marine spit out a chunk of dirt from a near miss and said, "Nice shooting for a grunt." Frank looked sideways at him. He just killed a man, and this Marine acted as though he just shot a 4-point buck. Frank didn't feel bad about it. He hated these sons of bitches as much as the next man, but the comment grated on him. "Why don't you keep your damn mouth shut, Gyrene?" The Marine gave him an incredulous look, which gradually turned into a grin. "You should have been a Marine, soldier boy." "No thanks. I scored too high on the AGCT test for that," Frank teased. The Marine reached out his hand. "I'm Larry Grinning Bear." Frank looked bemused. "Grinning Bear? He extended his hand, and they shook. I'm Frank Cooper. You an Indian? Wow, you really are smart. Frank laughed. He hadn't laughed in ages, and it came out like a harsh bark and ended in a coughing fit. Grinning Bear said, You sound like shit. You know that? You should see someone about that cough. Frank laughed deeper. He probably wouldn't live for another 10 minutes, and if he did, he'd probably have something much worse happen to him than a cough. Larry shook his head at Frank's hysterical laughter. He murmured, My mama told me to watch out for crazy white men, and boy, was she right. Frank finally got control of his laughter when another round of grenades exploded all around the trench. He heard someone yell, Here they come again! Open fire! This time, the Japanese had heavy machine gun support. The incoming Japanese fire kept the defenders from maintaining a steady rate of return fire. It forced them to pop up, find a target, fire, and drop back down again. As a result, the Japanese made good progress and soon threatened the line. Frank heard someone yell, Fix bayonets! He did it automatically, but the order scared him. He'd been forced to do it before on the Bataan Peninsula. The feeling as the tip of the bayonet punctured the skin and entered the viscera would stick with him forever. He hated the mere thought of it. Killing with a rifle shot was one thing, but killing with a knife was quite another. He suppressed the bile rising in his gut. The thought of being skewered at the end of an enemy soldier's bayonet was nearly as nauseating as doing the deed to someone else. Even the Japanese don't deserve that kind of treatment. He quickly corrected himself. If anyone does, they do. He remembered one of his instructors telling the class, If it comes down to it, be meaner than the other son of a bitch. Grinning Bear yelled at him, Use grenades! Frank grabbed two and tossed one to Grinning Bear. He expertly caught it, pulled the pin, and chucked it over the side without looking. He turned with his hands out, and Frank tossed him another. They continued until Frank emptied the box. Last one, he said. Grinning Bear caught it, but raised his head this time before throwing it into the scrambling Japanese. Frank clutched his rifle and popped up. Japanese soldiers still darted everywhere. He swung the muzzle and fired into a running soldier who darted in and out of the light from the flare. The bullet smacked into his hip with a sound like a ripping drum. The soldier collapsed and rolled down the hill a few yards. Frank pulled the trigger again, but he'd fired the fifth round and nothing happened. He looked for the stack of stripper clips. Nothing left. He rifled through his pockets and felt helpless. I'm out! I'm out of ammo! Grinning Bear had his rifle at his shoulder, firing methodically. He dropped down and pulled a clip from his shirt pocket. Here, last one. Frank shook his head. Keep it then! Grinning Bear shrugged, then rose back up and fired two more times before inserting his final five rounds. Frank looked around in desperation, but he heard others calling out the same predicament. What now? The lieutenant from earlier bellowed, We can't hold! Fall back! Fall back! Frank felt relief. Perhaps he wouldn't have to use the damn bayonet again after all. He scooted the few yards and tapped Grinning Bear's leg. He dropped down and Frank said, We're pulling back. Grinning Bear simply said, Good. He pushed Frank, and they followed other men using the trenches leading toward the Malinta Tunnel. Arcing artillery shells smashed into the Japanese's position, stalling their attack and allowing Frank and the others time to retreat. Frank couldn't see much more than the back of the man in front of him. He kept trotting along, hoping someone knew where they were going. The retreat finally slowed, and soon Frank and Grinning Bear found themselves out of the trenches and on the main road leading into the tunnels. Grinning Bear said in a guttural voice, I don't like retreating. It's all I've been doing tonight. Frank clapped him on the shoulder and said, I've been retreating since December 8th. You'll get used to it. I hope not, the surly Marine grumbled. Men called out to one another. Grinning Bear led Frank until he found his squad mates. They looked as worn and tired as Grinning Bear. More ammo arrived, and Frank soon had his supply restocked. He drained the last of his water and wished he had more. Fighting made him thirsty. He hadn't eaten anything in over 20 hours, and he felt the familiar exhaustion coming over him. I need to sit down. He found an out-of-the-way spot and sat down heavily. He rested his head on his rifle spanning his knees and fell asleep almost instantly. He woke up disoriented. Men darted around in the darkness. He wondered how long he'd slept. He squinted at his watch and decided it was either 0330 or 0430. He'd slept at least 2 hours. Beside him, he heard Grinning Bear's deep voice. "You army guys can sleep anywhere. You ready to get back in the war, or do you need more beauty sleep?" Christ almighty. I was hoping this whole thing was just a nightmare, particularly waking up near the likes of you. "You twitch and fart a lot in your sleep. Did you know that?" "Now I do." Frank pushed his way to his feet. Men darted all around, and he noted that most of them were Marines. "What's going on?" "They've committed the reserves. They want us to take back Denver." Frank looked at the sky overhead. Stars still twinkled, and he wished he was up there rather than down here. He checked his rifle and said, "Okay. When?" Grinning Bear teased, "We were just waiting for you to wake up. So any time now." Frank guffawed despite his groggy head. "Are all Marines as funny as you, or is it the Indian part of you?" Grinning Bear shrugged. "Must be the Indian. Most Marines aren't funny at all." He slapped the man next to him. "Isn't that right, Johnny?" Johnny cursed. "Fuck you! See? Not funny at all." Frank stayed low and followed the mixed group of Marines, Navy, Army, and Filipinos. The eastern horizon lightened slightly with the coming dawn. Frank wondered if this would be his last sunrise. He'd stayed alive much longer than he ever thought he would. So many good men had died already, and he simply couldn't imagine he'd survive this battle. The odds had to be stacked heavily against him. He thought of his parents. He hoped that submarine had made it back to Australia safely and posted his letters. Even if he died this morning, at least they'd have his final words. He felt better knowing that they'd know he'd survived as long as he did. He thought about his brother, Clyde. He must be caught up in this war by now, too. Perhaps he was already on his way to Europe. Nah, probably still in basic. His cousin Sean must surely be in the war by now. He'd nearly been out of basic training before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. He'd be one of the first ones to fight. That crazy son of a gun always was impulsive. He hoped neither of them got sent out here. The Germans couldn't be as ruthless and sneaky as the Japanese. He wished he could have told them about these bastards. A lot of men died learning hard lessons. Lessons that other soldiers would have to learn all over again. The man in front of him stopped and held up a fist. Frank stopped and hunkered onto a knee. The Marines were up front. He'd wanted to stay with Grinning Bear, but he and his squad went forward, and Frank found himself in a mishmash of different service members. He hoped Grinning Bear survived, but he'd seen too many other friends die to dwell on it too much. He'd just be another face in his dreams. The early morning darkness suddenly lit up with flares again, but this time they sputtered and burned over their heads. Frank dropped to his belly along with everyone else. He moved into a slight depression and hoped he was out of sight. The awful sound of Japanese machine guns ripped the calm. They sounded like damn woodpeckers to him. Tracer rounds flashed all around, and he gripped his doughboy helmet tighter. Return fire broke out, and Frank lifted his eyes. In the bizarre light from the flares, he saw men rise up and run toward the Japanese lines. Frank didn't have a shot, so he crawled forward steadily. He passed men pressed firmly into Mother Earth, but he kept going. He wanted to help. He saw men fall, victims of Japanese machine guns, grenades, and rifles. Explosions shook the ground, and bullets snapped overhead and thudded into the ground. All around him, chaos reigned supreme. Mortar rounds exploded, and sickening bouts of flame, mud, and shrapnel shot in all directions. Frank stopped crawling and brought his rifle to his shoulder. Marines still surged forward, and he saw some make it close to the Japanese line. He marveled at their bravery. They kept assaulting the heavily defended trench line, and they kept dying, but they got closer with each new thrust. He wondered what the hell their own artillery was doing. Surely this was the time to burn through their reserves. Perhaps they already have, he thought. Frank searched for a target, but every time he saw movement, a helmet or a flash, it would disappear before he could settle his sights. He wanted to push forward, but he hadn't received that order yet. They were the reserve force. He wondered what they'd have to offer, If the Marines couldn't do it, why'd they think a ragtag bunch of misfits could? He watched and agonized as men fought desperately only a stone's throw away. He searched for Grinning Bear, but he couldn't tell one Marine from another. The sun rose and blinded him as it climbed past the wispy clouds. Then he saw Marines retreating. They'd run a few steps, get on their bellies, fire, and run back a few more yards as others covered them. He squinted through the glare and saw a tank hull suddenly shudder its way over a berm and settle back down. The turret spun slowly, and flame and smoke belched from the muzzle. Two Marines flailed as a tank round blew up between them. Two more tanks lumbered over the berm on either side, and mayhem ensued. No one sounded the retreat, but men beside him bolted to their feet and took off running. Frank saw Japanese troops using the tanks as cover. He aimed and fired. He worked the bolt action quickly, not caring about ammo expenditure. He only wanted to keep their heads down so maybe a few Marines could get away clean. He reloaded and got to his knee. He continued firing at the men tucked behind the tanks. He didn't know if he hit any of them, but that wasn't the point. Marines swept past him. One of them yelled at him, "Get out of here, Frank!" Frank saw Grinning Bear running straight at him. He bled from his left arm, and he had a nasty gash over his right eye, but he ran fast. He slid in next to Frank and brought his rifle up to his shoulder. They both fired through their five rounds before they stumbled back together. The machine guns poking from the front of the tank spewed bullets at them, and Frank saw more than a few Marines cut down all around him. He and Grinning Bear ran hard and fast. Bullets whipped past them with angry snaps. The mortar rounds had stopped, but were replaced by the occasional roar of the tank's main guns. They kept running until they finally found themselves in the trenches and bunkers at the entrance to the Melinta Tunnel complex. Frank glanced at the gaping tunnel entrance only 100 yards away. "If the Japs take that, a lot of defenseless people will die," Grinning Bear said with finality. "We won't let them past us. We stand here or die here." It felt like a death pact, but Frank knew it was the right thing to do. "I'll stand with you till the end." The tanks and pursuing Japanese troops stopped and pulled back. Frank and Grinning Bear exchanged confused looks. "What are they doing?" Grinning Bear asked. Frank hunkered and pulled Grinning Bear down to join him. He knew their methods all too well. "They're calling in artillery." Within minutes, the screeching of an incoming artillery barrage filled the air. Even after months of such punishing, relentless artillery attacks, Frank still wasn't used to it. He stayed curled in a ball, trying to keep the fear from completely taking over. He'd seen many good men break from such barrages. He fought an inner battle to keep his sanity as the rounds fell on them like rain. It finally ended. Men unwound themselves and staggered to their firing positions. Smoldering craters, some filled with bloody remains, surrounded the area. This would be it. The last stand. Frank tried to spit, but his mouth felt dry as dust. He picked chunks of dirt off his tongue and wiped heavy soot and grime from around his eyes. Grinning Bear had nothing witty to say. Someone behind them called out, "Hey, looky there!" From Melinta Tunnel, an entourage of dirty officers and soldiers streamed out, lofting a white flag atop a long metal pole. Frank felt numb. He'd been ready to die, but now they'd taken that option from him. Tears streamed down Grinning Bear's cheeks, but Frank felt devoid of all emotion. Deep down, a tiny spark ignited as he realized he might actually survive this war.